Well, amen. Good evening. Would you join me in God's Word in Psalm 71? Find your way to Psalm 71. Thankful that Kylan was able to bring us God's Word this morning, and Emily and I got to teach Preacher Pals, and I will tell you, it is less stressful teaching you. Because when you lose train of thought or lose interest, you at least have the common courtesy to still look at me and kind of nod your head and stay seated. When the children lose interest, they just get up and start walking around. So it's nice to be in the pulpit, but it was really, really good to be with our little ones this morning. We learned about how God provided for his people in the wilderness, and we used Cinnamon Toast Crunch as manna, and we asked them to take rocks and squeeze them to see if any water would come out. I don't know if we accomplished much else, but we certainly tried our best to teach Exodus 15, 16, and 17 through those object lessons, and we enjoyed it immensely. Psalm 71. Tonight, I want to preach to you a message that's been on my heart for quite some time, and it's really a message that just arises out of a pastoral desire to want to shepherd you well in every season of life. So tonight I want to preach to you a message on the subject of aging. And I didn't expect to get any amens when I said that. And I want to label the message Meeting the Challenges of Old Age with Faith. Lord willing, this will be somewhat of a two-part message. We'll think about the opportunities that come with old age at a later time. But tonight I want us to think about the challenges of old age and approaching them with faith. And to do that, I want us to look at Psalm 71. This is the voice of a seasoned saint, someone who has walked with the Lord for many years, who has known the Lord's faithfulness from his youth, and now he finds himself facing frailty and fears and the pressures that often come with age. Let's hear God's word together. Psalm 71, we're just going to read the first 12 verses. Excuse me. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me, those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let's pray together. Father, as we open your word tonight, we thank you for this blessed privilege. And we pray now for the ministry of your Holy Spirit to take your word and apply it to our hearts in a way that would actually transform us. We pray as we consider this theme of aging that you would help us to do so with wisdom. That as a result of our time in your word, you would help us to view the aging process, no matter what stage of life we may be now, help us to view this process through the lens of your word. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me just say at the outset, this message is not only for those with gray hair or maybe just a little bit of hair. This is for all of us, no matter what age we are. Some of us are already going through the realities of aging. Others of us haven't had as many trips around the sun, and we still feel strong and vibrant and tempted to think that a message like this doesn't really apply to us. But I want to encourage you, don't tune this out, because as we all know, life moves quickly. Days go quickly, months go quickly, and years go by. Life is a vapor, as James says. And no matter how old we are now, we are all getting older. We're a day older today than we were yesterday. In the blink of an eye, all of us will be at the stage of gray hair or no hair. So no matter how old we are, we do need a biblical perspective on aging and reaching our final years. And we need that because if we know the destination, we'll be able to choose the right path now. We don't get into our car and just wander aimlessly. We have a direction. We're going to a certain place, and that determines the path that we follow. It is very much the same with our lives, and it's certainly the same for those of us who want to leave a godly legacy. If we want our lives to end with faithfulness and hope and joy, then we need to choose to walk the path of faith now. And the glory of all this, everything that we're going to say tonight, the glory of all this is that Christ has already gone before us. He has lived, and He has died, and He has risen again to reconcile us to God. So the truths that we're going to talk about tonight, they're not detached moral lessons. They flow out of the finished work of Jesus on our behalf. That's why we sing, "In Christ alone our hope is found." So because of Jesus, because of His finished work, we can think about this subject, as difficult as it may be, we can actually do so from a position of strength, because Romans chapter 8 assures us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. As our bodies weaken, as our circumstances change, as relationships disappoint us, as life brings us burdens that we did not anticipate, we are anchored in a Savior who loves us and redeemed us, and who holds us and indwells us by His Spirit and will bring us all the way home to heaven. That's our confidence in light of aging. But we also have to be realistic. We are all frail children of dust, and we are easily discouraged. Declining health discourages us. Unfulfilled hopes and dreams discourage us. Broken relationships discourage us. Unexpected crises discourage us. And sometimes we can make matters worse because we move into those years unprepared, maybe thoughtless and careless. We might act surprised when a loved one ends up in the hospital. We're stunned when we face an unexpected medical crisis. We're shaken when age brings weakness and limitation and dependence, but the realistic news is Scripture tells us to prepare for these things. We may not know the details, but we should not be surprised that aging brings difficulty. And at the same time, we can't consider only the challenges of aging. We also have to recognize, and we'll save this for the next message, that aging does bring with it certain opportunities that youthfulness does not bring. A seasoned faith, a tested faith, a tried faith brings with it immense blessings that those who are younger in the Lord have not yet experienced. But for tonight, let's think about the challenges of old age and meeting those challenges with faith. And let's do so under four headings. Here's number one: aging brings about real physical weakness. Real physical weakness. Look again to the psalm. In verse 9, the psalmist says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent, for my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, 'God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there's none to deliver him.'" Notice the psalmist here is honest before the Lord. He does not pretend that aging is easy. He does not speak as though spiritual maturity somehow exempts him from the difficulties of aging. In fact, he says very plainly, "My strength is spent. My strength is gone. That's the language of physical decline. His younger strength is gone. His energy is now diminished. His body no longer responds the way that it once did. And he knows, in light of that weakness, that he needs God's sustaining grace now more than ever. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, "Lord, I've served you all these years, so these last years should be really easy. I deserve an easy ending." He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "Because I've trusted you from my youth, I should be spared the weakness of old age." Instead, he prays, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." I love that because, as with other psalms, that's deeply realistic, isn't it? There's no sugarcoating that. It's deeply realistic prayer. And it reminds us and teaches us that aging brings about real weakness. And no believer is exempt from it. Being a Christian does not mean that your body will not decline. Faithfulness to Christ doesn't mean that you'll always retain the energy of younger years. Godliness does not guarantee that your latter years will be easy, comfortable, or pain-free. I think that's important for us to settle in our minds, because if we expect old age to be a season of uninterrupted comfort and leisure and no difficulties, we may be spiritually unprepared when this kind of weakness that the psalmist is talking about, when it comes. But if Scripture has prepared us, then we can meet even those weaknesses with faith rather than with bitterness. And here, I think from the psalmist's example, we learn to pray honestly, don't we? We learn to cry out to the Lord honestly. He doesn't deny his weakness. He doesn't try to pull himself up by his bootstraps. He brings his weakness to the Lord. This is where aging believers must begin. We don't need to pretend to be strong when we're not, because the reality is none of us are strong. We are all weak, and in fact, we're weaker than we would care to admit. But the psalmist is teaching us by his example, we don't need to hide our frailty from the Lord. We can say with the psalmist in open, honest confession, "Lord, my strength is spent. I've got nothing left in the tank. Don't forsake me now. I'm hanging by a thread." And for those of us who haven't had as many trips around the sun, I think we should learn from this before we arrive. If the Lord gives us life and health in latter years, we should build our theology of aging before our body forces us to. We need to learn now, no matter how strong we may feel, no matter how vibrant it may be, if we're still able to go exercise and do the things that we want to do with seemingly no physical limitations, we need to have the thought in the back of our mind that it is only temporary. It is fleeting. Earthly life and good health is fragile. And when weakness comes, then we won't be caught off guard, because we know it will be coming. Aging brings real physical weakness. That's point number one. And boy, isn't this sermon very encouraging. Look at the second point. Aging not only brings real physical weakness, but it also does not remove responsibility. If you've got your Bible open, I want you to turn with me from Psalm 71. Keep your place there. But let's turn over to 1 Kings, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 1. I want you to see this point, that aging doesn't remove responsibility. And I want you to see it in the life of King David. King David is like a case study for this. 1 Kings chapter 1. David, as you know, was a valiant man. In his youth, he faced Goliath with courage and with faith. He became king over Israel. He reigned for 40 years. He received the covenant promise that the Messiah would come through his lineage. He wrote many of the Psalms. Scripture calls him a man after God's own heart. If anyone would have seemed likely to have a peaceful and triumphant end of life, surely King David would fit that bill. But that is not at all how his final days are described. 1 Kings chapter 1, we're going to read a lengthy portion of the text, but I want you to see it. Look at verses 1 to 4, how this chapter opens. It says, "Now King David was old and advanced in years, And although they covered him with clothes, he could not get warm. Therefore his servants said to him, "Let a young woman be sought for my lord the king, and let her wait on the king and be in his service. Let her lie in your arms, that my lord the king may be warm." So they sought for a beautiful young woman throughout all the territory of Israel, and found Abishag the Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The young woman was very beautiful, and she was of service to the king and attended to him, but the king knew her not. So here we see David, no longer the young, strong warrior who took down Goliath. Now we see him old, cold, weak, and dependent. In modern terms, he looks like a nursing home candidate. He needs assistance. He can't keep his own body warm. He's physically diminished and declining. There's a sobering realism in this scene. Here is the mighty King David, the great king of Israel, the warrior, the psalmist, the man after God's own heart, the covenant recipient. And yet, age has brought him low. But David's physical weakness doesn't remove his responsibility. Look at verses 5 and 6. "Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king.' And he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. His father had never at any time displeased him by asking, 'Why have you done thus and so?' He was also a very handsome man, and he was born next after Absalom." This man, Adonijah, charismatic, young, healthy, handsome, sees David's weakness as an opportunity. He exalts himself and seeks to seize the throne. So this crisis of succession is now erupting in the kingdom while David is bedridden and frail. This is where we need to pay careful attention. David's age does not shield him from trouble. His weakness does not excuse him from action. His body is failing, but his responsibility still remains. The text continues, verses 11 to 14. Nathan the prophet and Bathsheba, they come to David because of Solomon's life and because of Bathsheba's life, and the future of the kingdom is at stake. Look at verse 11. "Then Nathan said to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, 'Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king, and David, our Lord, does not know it? Now therefore come, let me give you advice, that you may save your own life and the life of your son Solomon. Go in at once to King David and say to him, Did you not, my lord the king, swear to your servant, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then is Adonijah king? Then while you're still speaking with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words.'" Verses 17 to 21, Bathsheba goes to David and reminds him of his oath concerning Solomon. She said to him, "My lord, you swore to your servant by the Lord your God, saying, Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah is king, although you, my lord the king, do not know it. He has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle, and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abiathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army. But Solomon your servant he's not invited. And now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it will come to pass when my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be counted offenders." Do you see the picture that's unfolding here? David is old. David is weak. He's confined to his room. And yet this great responsibility is set before him. As we just read, all eyes of Israel are on you. Nathan comes in and confirms the matter, verses 24 to 27. Nathan said, "My lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me and he shall sit on my throne? For he's gone down this day and has sacrificed oxen, fattened cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons, the commanders of the army, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they are eating and drinking before him and saying, 'Long live King Adonijah!' But me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he's not invited. Has this thing been brought about by my lord the king, and you've not told your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" Well, here's the principle, beloved. Aging may weaken the body, but it does not erase calling. It does not erase responsibility. And it does not erase the need for faithfulness. Some of you understand this very personally. As you've aged, your children have grown. Your family has multiplied. And while that is a blessing, you have also understood that problems have become more complicated, not less. You may have adult children or daughters-in-laws and son-in-laws who bring sorrow to your heart. You may have grandchildren, and their burdens are always upon your heart in prayer. You may have financial decisions and medical concerns and family tensions and spiritual griefs that you never expected to have at this stage of your life. And perhaps you would say, maybe like David here, I did not think things would be this way. I think that's exactly why David's example is helpful. David did not have the strength that he once had, but he still looked to the Lord, and he acted faithfully in this moment before him. Look at verses 28 to 30. King David answered, and we can imagine as he answered, his voice is very weak. "Call Bathsheba to me." So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore, saying, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity, as I swore to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Solomon, your son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, even so I will do this day." That's remarkable, isn't it? David is speaking here as an old man, but he is speaking with faith. As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my soul out of every adversity. He's drawing strength from the faithfulness of God. And David certainly had much to draw from throughout the course of his life. And drawing that strength from the faithfulness of God, he acts decisively. Look at how it ends, verses 32 to 35. King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So they came before the king. And the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and have Solomon my son ride on my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon!' You shall then come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah." Despite his immense weakness, David rose to the responsibility before him. He carried out his kingly duty with faithfulness. This is a word for aging saints. You may not have the strength that you once had. You may not be able to serve in exactly the same way. You may need more help than you used to need. But God has still placed responsibilities before you. Responsibilities of prayer, of wisdom, of testimony, of leadership, of counsel, of endurance, of faithfulness, and whatever responsibilities that He has placed into your life. No matter how weak you feel, He will give you the grace to meet them. His grace is sufficient for you, just as it was for David. Well, come back with me now to Psalm 71. Aging brings about real physical weakness. It does not remove responsibility. And to keep the encouragement coming, aging brings difficult realities. That's point number three. Aging brings difficult realities. As you turn back to Psalm 71, the psalmist is going to show us several difficult realities that accompany aging. These are not imaginary concerns. They are not signs that God has abandoned His people. They are part of life in a fallen world, lived in fallen bodies. And Scripture is teaching us to face all of these honestly. The first hard reality that may come with aging is earthly adversaries. You see that in verses 4 and 5. The psalmist says, "Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth." The psalmist is old, but his enemies have not disappeared. Apparently, they are still there. He's weak, but the opposition to him remains. He's seasoned in faith, but he still needs deliverance. This teaches us that old age doesn't necessarily mean freedom from conflict. Some believers face opposition from family members even in their last days. Some experience mistreatment from others. Some carry relational wounds late in life. Some are taken advantage of because of helplessness and weakness and dependence. But when that happens, the faithful response, according to Psalm 71, is not despair. The faithful response is prayer. The psalmist says, "Rescue me, O my God. Rescue me." And then he anchors his plea in God's long-standing faithfulness. "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust from my youth." That's how seasoned faith speaks, isn't it? It doesn't deny the trouble, doesn't deny the opposition, but it remembers the faithfulness of God. In other words, "Lord, you have been faithful before. I am counting on you to be faithful now." There's a second reality, difficult reality here in Psalm 71 that accompanies aging. We've thought about it already, but it is physical decline. You see that in verse 9. The psalmist says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." When my strength is spent. That accompanies aging, doesn't it? Energy fades. Mobility changes. Pain increases. Memory worsens. Independence lessens. I'll never forget the first time that this came crashing upon the shores of my mind. 18 years old, right out of high school, before the Lord called me into ministry, I thought I wanted to be a physical therapist. And I worked as a physical therapy tech at Highlands. And I remember going in a room on the floor, and I thought it was so neat that our patient that day was one of Rupp's runts. He had played basketball for Adolph Rupp. And I had been told all these amazing stories about him and seen some pictures of him when he played. And then I remember walking in that room thinking, "Oh, this will be great. We'll have this neat conversation, and I can't wait to hear all about this." And here in the bed laid a frail, helpless, incapacitated man, unable hardly even to groan. And the only physical therapy that we were required to do with him was just to gently move his legs back and forth. And it wasn't many days afterward that that man died. No matter what our youth may look like or may have looked like, the realities of aging can be an ugly process. People who were strong in years prior may need help standing. People who once worked and built and led and cooked and taught and traveled and cared for others end up needing care themselves. That's not sentimental. According to Scripture, that's just reality. And because it is reality, no matter our current station in life, we need to prepare for those days with faith. The Bible certainly causes us to have hope, but it also, at the same time, leads us not to live in denial. It leads us to a realistic picture. It gives us words to pray when our strength is spent. "Lord, do not forsake me." It's a prayer that God's people can pray with confidence, especially in light of Hebrews 13:5, that reminds us, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll never leave you." Well, there's another difficult reality that comes with aging, if you're not encouraged enough already, and that is unfulfilled ambitions, unfulfilled hopes and dreams and ambitions in life. Look down to verse 18 of Psalm 71. "So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. It's an amazing statement from the psalmist. Here he is, an older believer that still has this holy ambition. He's not merely looking backward. He's asking God for strength to continue declaring his power to the next generation. But the verse also implies unfinished work. Lord, do not forsake me until. So there is something that he still longs to do. There are people that he still wants to impact. There's testimony that he still wants to give. I think many older believers understand this. You may look back and realize life did not unfold the way that you had expected. Some ambitions just did not come true. Some dreams did not come to pass. Some prayers have not yet been answered. Some family members still remain far from Christ. Some opportunities have passed by, seemingly not to return. Some hopes were buried along the way. The world tells us that old age is about leisure and retirement and comfort. But beloved, I hope you see from this verse, Scripture gives us a far richer version. The mature believer is able to say, Lord, give me strength, not just for my own comfort and ease, but give me strength so that I can declare your greatness to another generation. Give me strength so that I might fulfill all that you've called me to fulfill for you and your kingdom as my time comes to an end in this world. Listen, old age is not spiritual irrelevance. It can be a season of profound usefulness to the Lord. Older saints are able to say to younger believers, I have walked with the Lord for decades and he has been faithful. They can teach and encourage and pray and counsel and warn and comfort and testify. There is a weightiness to seasoned faith that younger faith does not yet possess. And I can tell you as one who with a younger faith that those of us in my generation, older saints, are looking to you for that encouragement, for that testimony, for that example. Well, there's one final adversity that this psalm highlights, and it really is twofold. It is in verse 21, turmoil and fear. He says in verse 21, you will increase my greatness and comfort me again. Comfort me again. Why does the psalmist ask for comfort? Well, because he needs it. He feels distress. He knows turmoil, whatever the situations may be. He longs for God to draw near. Aging brings with it fears that are hard to express. Fear of dependence. Fear of being forgotten. Fear of pain. Fear of losing mental clarity. Fear for family members. Fear of death. Financial fears. Fears of being a burden to others. Fear that life has not mattered as much as you hoped. Scripture doesn't mock any of those fears, by the way. If any of those fears exist in your heart as you think about aging, Scripture doesn't mock any of them. But you know what it does do? It teaches us to bring them all to the Lord, to bring them all to Him. The psalmist says, in effect, Lord, comfort me again. And I think that's a precious phrase, again, because that goes backwards and forwards. God has comforted him before, and he trusts that God will comfort him again. That is the testimony of the aging believer. The Lord who sustained me then will sustain me now. The Lord who carried me through early sorrows in my life can carry me through these present sorrows. The Lord who comforted me before can comfort me again. Well, there's a fourth and final note that I want you to see in this psalm. And I hope it is ending on a note of encouragement. Aging brings with it real physical weakness, real physical challenges. Aging does not remove responsibility, and aging certainly brings real struggle. But aging, fourth and finally, requires a biblical perspective. A biblical perspective. As we age, we have to be clear on the fact that God in His Word has not promised us ease in this life. Our culture sells this illusion of aging. We're told to plan well, save well, stay active, retire comfortably, and then the final decades of our life will be lived with minimal difficulty. And of course, wisdom in planning and all of those things is good. Stewardship matters, preparation matters, but Scripture does not promise that even the most careful, meticulous planning and living will shield us from sorrow later in life. I have never met a healthier man than the chiropractor that I worked for while Emily and I were living in Louisville in Bible college. This man was a health nut. I don't know any other way to put it. In my interview, he ordered pizza for us to have, and then it arrives and it's gluten-free with nothing but vegetables. He rode his bike to work from Clarksville, Indiana to Louisville every single morning and then back, no matter the weather. He was unbelievably healthy. And he was dead within a year of my employment there. Financial reversal may come as we age. Medical crisis may come. Family trouble may come. Loneliness may come. Weakness may come. Contrary to what's taught in the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel movement, this is not our best life now. Our hope is not ultimately anchored in a comfortable retirement, a pain-free body, a perfect family, or an easy final chapter. All those things are good gifts from God. But whether we receive them or not, our hope is anchored in Christ. Our hope is anchored in the promise of a resurrection and eternal life. Isn't that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4? So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, they're passing away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. That is the biblical perspective that we all need. Our outer self is wasting away, but the inner self is being renewed day by day. Affliction is real. The struggles that come with aging and just living in this fallen world are real. Even as we hear an ambulance zip down the road, struggles are real. But they're temporary for the Christian. The things that we see are temporary. The struggles that we face are temporary. We are not suffering from anything now that a good resurrection can't fix. And we also need to remember, we are not entitled to a life of ease and comfort. Ease is not our birthright. Comfort's not guaranteed to us. Our sin deserves judgment, not comfort. Every mercy we receive is exactly that. It's a mercy. And how could we follow Jesus demanding a life easier than His? He was, according to Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, abandoned by His disciples, rejected by His people, condemned by unjust men, crucified under Roman authority, and forsaken under the judgment of God as He bore the wrath of our sins. Jesus himself said in John 16:33, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The Apostle Paul also knew this. Near the end of his life, he wrote this in 2 Timothy 4:16-18. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. What a remarkable testimony. Paul experienced the very thing that many people fear as they grow older. He was abandoned. He was deserted. Human support failed him. Friends were absent in the moment of his greatest need. The people that he expected to stand beside him in his greatest moment of trial were gone, just like his Lord's. But Paul discovered something that every aging saint eventually learns. When everyone else leaves, the Lord remains. The Lord stood by me, Paul says. Not merely the Lord watched me from heaven, or the Lord took thought of me, as great as that would be. Paul makes this immensely personal and near. He says, the Lord stood by me. He was with me. That is the same promise to all of God's children in every season of life. The Lord stands by you. He is with you. When strength fails, the Lord stands by you. When your body weakens, the Lord stands by you. When your mind falters, the Lord stands by you. When friends die, the Lord stands by you. When loneliness creeps into your heart, the Lord stands by you. When family disappoints you, the Lord stands by you. When fear whispers into your mind, the Lord stands by you. And notice, Paul doesn't merely say the Lord stood by him. He says, the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. The Lord will supply exactly what we need for every moment of every day. Those who haven't taken as many trips around the sun, this is a reminder that we do not need to borrow tomorrow's trouble. We don't need to think about the difficulties of aging and how we'll meet those difficulties before we get there, because the Lord will provide what we need when those days come, just as he will provide what we need right now. It seems to me, and I say this not from personal experience as a 32-year-old man, but as one who is standing upon God's word, it seems to me that one of the greatest lessons of growing older is learning that God will never fail his people. We often fear future trials because we imagine facing them alone, but God's people never face them alone. The same God who carried you through childhood will carry you through these final years. The same God who sustained you in the struggles of your youth, whatever those struggles were, he will sustain you through the weaknesses of old age. The same Christ who redeemed you by his blood will preserve you by his power, and the same Spirit who now indwells you will never depart from you. Listen to this precious promise from Isaiah 46:4. The Lord says, even to your old age, I am he, and to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and will save. Oh, what a promise. I will carry you, the Lord says. I will carry. And back to Paul. Listen one final time how he lifts his eyes beyond all earthly concerns and says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his kingdom. That's our ultimate lasting hope, isn't it? That he who began a good work in us will see it through until the day of completion. But that the Lord will bring us safely home, that one day we will cross the river, that we will know, not just by ear and by faith, but by sight, we will know victory in Jesus. So whether we're young or whether we're old, whether our strength is great or small, whether many years remain before us in this world or just a few, we can face the future with confidence. And when the final chapter of our lives are written, may our testimony be the same as Paul's. Others may fail, strength may fail, health may fail, plans may fail, dreams may fail, but the Lord stood by me. The Lord strengthened me, and the Lord brought me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's bow together. Lord, that is our prayer tonight and our steadfast hope. No matter what it is that we are facing, and I know even in this room tonight, there are immense, painful struggles represented. There are hardships and trials of every kind. There are uncertainties of every variety facing us. Facing the beloved members of this congregation. But Lord, no matter what it is that we're facing, known or unknown, we're grateful tonight for the reminder of your word that we do not face them alone. You will stand by us. You will strengthen us. Your grace will be sufficient for every need we have, and your strength will be made perfect in our weakness. Oh, Father, thank you for these precious promises. Thank you for the realistic picture that your word paints for us, but thank you also for the hope that it delivers to our hearts. So we pray, even as we move forward, even as we face trials of various kinds, that we would be able to do so with joy and with contentment and with gratitude, knowing that nothing could ever separate us from your love, nothing can annul your promises, nothing can ever separate us from your presence. You will bring us safely home into your presence, and we will rejoice. We will feast in Zion. And there will be a day when the struggles of aging will be gone. Every sting of pain will be removed. Every tear will be wiped away. And death itself will be no more. And you will dwell with us as our God. And we will forever dwell with you as your people. Lord, hasten that day and fill our hearts with hope as we await it. We pray in Jesus' name.